Welcome back to HN Pod, your daily audio deep dive into the top stories and discussions from Hacker News. I am Sarah, and joining me as always is Mike.
Hey everyone, today is Saturday, June 6, 2026, and this is episode number 419. We have a really fascinating lineup of stories from yesterday that perfectly capture the current state of tech, from high finance to incredibly silly AI blunders, and some heavy geopolitical news too.
We really do. Today, we are talking about the S&P 500 putting its foot down and rejecting fast-track entry for SpaceX, OpenAI, and Anthropic. Then, we will look at Meta admitting that thousands of Instagram accounts were hacked because their AI chatbot was just handing out password resets.
After that, we are diving into a major national security story about the Pentagon raising the threat level of Israeli spying on the US to its highest level. Then we have a wild privacy story about a GrapheneOS user allegedly being reported to the authorities just for using the operating system. And finally, we'll wrap things up with a super cool open source project that emulates vintage VHS artifacts using Rust.
Let us kick things off with the financial markets. So SpaceX has been gearing up for a historic IPO, and as part of that, they requested an unusually swift entry into major stock market indexes, specifically the S&P 500. But the S&P Dow Jones Indices Committee essentially said absolutely not. They are refusing to bend the rules for Elon Musk's space and AI company, and by extension, this shuts the door for companies like OpenAI and Anthropic to get fast-tracked after their own expected IPOs.
This is a huge deal because getting into the S&P 500 triggers a massive wave of automatic buying from passive index funds. We are talking about an estimated $14 billion of passive fund buying for SpaceX alone. OpenAI could have seen $8 billion and Anthropic around $4.6 billion. But the S&P 500 has strict rules. You need a 12-month seasoning period, you need to make at least 10% of your shares publicly available, and crucially, you need to demonstrate consistent profitability.
Right. And SpaceX wanted to waive basically all of that. They only plan to offer about 3% of their IPO shares to the public, and they are currently sitting on a growing debt load of around $29 billion because of their massive spending on AI infrastructure. The Hacker News community was extremely vocal about this one, and honestly, the consensus was overwhelmingly in favor of the S&P 500 holding the line.
Exactly. A user named Shivota summed it up perfectly, saying it is a big relief. As a passive investor, they want index funds to follow the boring passive strategy they always have, without making special exceptions for hyped-up tech companies. Another user, CodeGeek, pointed out that the S&P 500 needs to be seriously gatekept. The whole point of these index funds is that they are relatively safe, proven companies that make up the backbone of people's retirement accounts.
There was an interesting debate in the comments about what this means for existing tech giants. Someone asked, well, what if Alphabet pivots to become a 100% AI company like OpenAI? Should they be kicked out? And the response was basically, Alphabet has a 25-year history of solid financials and is one of the most profitable companies in the world. These new AI companies are essentially setting money on fire right now to build data centers. You do not want ordinary people's life savings tightly coupled to highly speculative, unprofitable technology.
It really shows the tension right now between the massive capital requirements of the AI boom and the traditional guardrails of the financial system. The Nasdaq and the FTSE Russell indexes actually did bend their rules to let SpaceX in faster, but the S&P 500 is the big one, and I think it is refreshing to see a financial institution actually say no to the hype machine.
Speaking of the hype machine hitting reality, let us move on to our second story about Meta. They just filed a data breach notification confirming that thousands of Instagram accounts were hijacked, and the way it happened is almost comical. Hackers abused a flaw in Meta's AI chatbot that allowed anyone to reset the password of an account that did not have two-factor authentication turned on.
The execution of this hack is just mind-boggling. The hackers essentially just asked the chatbot to send the verification code to their own email address instead of the account owner's email address, and the chatbot just did it. It complied. Meta notified over 20,000 people that their accounts were compromised in this campaign, which ran from mid-April all the way until this week.
The part that really got Hacker News fired up was Meta's official explanation in the breach notice. They wrote, and I quote, "The tool itself worked properly and functioned as intended. However, due to a bug in a separate code path, the system did not properly verify that the email address provided matched the user's account."
You can imagine how well that corporate speak went over on the forum. a user named Cyan488 immediately called out that worked properly and as intended absolutely do not describe the situation. Another user replied with a famous Italian saying that translates to, "The surgery was a complete success, but the patient died." It's just such a classic tech company non-apology.
It really is. It also perfectly highlights the danger of rushing to integrate LLMs into critical user flows like account recovery. People in the comments were pointing out that we are selling these AI agents as having human-like reasoning, but if a human support agent got a request to change the password for the official White House account and send the reset link to a random Gmail address, they would hopefully flag it. The AI just happily triggered the backend process.
It is automated social engineering at scale. And while human support agents do fall for social engineering, it's hard to do it to 20,000 accounts simultaneously. This really feels like a cautionary drill for any startup or enterprise listening right now. If you are plugging an AI chatbot into your backend systems, you need hard-coded, deterministic guardrails that the AI cannot override.
Absolutely. Let us shift gears now to a very serious geopolitical story that made waves on the site yesterday. According to NBC News, the Pentagon's Defense Intelligence Agency, or DIA, recently raised the counterintelligence threat level of Israeli spying on the U.S. to its highest level, designating it as critical.
This is a highly unusual move regarding a close ally. The report states that the Pentagon is increasingly concerned that Israel has ramped up its surveillance of top U.S. officials. They are allegedly trying to get inside information on the Trump administration's internal deliberations regarding the conflicts in the Middle East, specifically the war with Iran and operations in Lebanon.
The DIA actually issued a 7-page internal assessment detailing specific incidents that heightened these concerns. While it is an open secret in national security circles that allies spy on each other, current and former officials are saying this recent effort by Israel has gone way beyond typical espionage. Top U.S. officials are apparently taking extreme precautions when traveling to Israel now, using burner phones and laptops and avoiding talking in hotel rooms.
The Hacker News thread on this was intense and predictably complex. A lot of the discussion focused on the unique nature of the U.S. and Israel relationship. There was a really nuanced thread about how American domestic politics, particularly the support from roughly 100 million American evangelicals, heavily influences this dynamic. Users were diving into the theological reasons behind this support, which adds a whole different layer to the geopolitical strategy.
Yeah, the comments got deep into the history too, bringing up Jonathan Pollard, the U.S. Navy intelligence analyst who spent 30 years in prison for selling top secret documents to Israel back in the 1980s. But users also rightly pointed out the Snowden leaks, which proved the U.S. heavily spies on its allies as well. It is a messy, complicated reality of statecraft, but the fact that the DIA felt the need to officially raise the threat level to critical suggests a significant breakdown in trust right now.
It definitely highlights how volatile the situation is. Moving from global security to personal security, our next story is about a user of the privacy-focused Android operating system, Graphene OS. A user posted on the Graphene OS discussion forum, and later on Reddit, claiming that an age verification service called Yoti automatically flagged their device for running Graphene OS and reported them to the authorities.
This sparked a massive debate about the criminalization of privacy tools. The user shared a screenshot of a support ticket where a Yoti representative allegedly said that any instances of Graphene OS are automatically reported to both their security team and law enforcement. For context, Graphene OS is a legitimate, highly secure version of Android favored by journalists, activists, and privacy advocates.
The immediate reaction on Hacker News was outrage about the dystopian nature of age verification laws, especially in the UK where this supposedly happened. People were furious at the idea that simply wanting to protect your data makes you a suspect. However, the plot thickened quite a bit when the official Graphene OS team weighed in on the forum.
They did. The Graphene OS developers stated that this is likely fear-mongering based on a rogue customer support agent making ridiculous claims to get a user to go away. They pointed out there is absolutely nothing illegal about using Graphene OS. Furthermore, some Hacker News users did some digging into the original poster's Reddit history.
Right. The top comment on Hacker News pointed out that the original poster had a history of asking about bypassing age verification systems. It looks highly probable that this user was actively trying to exploit or bypass Yoti systems, got banned, and the customer service rep gave them a wildly exaggerated reason. Or the screenshot could have simply been edited.
Even if this specific instance was exaggerated, it triggered a really valuable conversation on Hacker News about the friction of using privacy tools in modern society. A user mentioned that their friend in law enforcement genuinely believed only criminals used GrapheneOS. It is a huge PR problem for privacy tech. If you use Tor or a custom ROM, or even just email aliasing, you constantly run into blocked websites and suspicious looks.
The thread also took a fascinating detour into border security. People were sharing stories about U.S. Customs and Border Protection demanding passwords to unlock phones without any suspicion of a crime. A lot of international Hacker News readers were saying they refuse to visit the U.S. right now because of it, or they buy completely clean decoy phones just for crossing the border. It is a stark reminder that digital privacy is under pressure from multiple angles, whether it is corporate age verification or government border checks.
It is a lot to think about. To wrap up the episode on a lighter, more nostalgic note, let us talk about a project called NTSCRS. This was a super popular post yesterday. It's a free, open-source video effect tool that accurately emulates analog TV and VHS artifacts, and as the RS in the name suggests, it's written in Rust.
I absolutely loved looking at this project. There are a million VHS filters out there for Instagram or TikTok, but most of them just slop a cheap color lookup table and some fake static over your video. This project actually models how NTSC transmission and VHS encoding physically work under the hood. It simulates the actual signal degradation.
And because it's written in Rust and uses multi-threading and SIMD acceleration, it's blazingly fast. It can process video in real time at much higher resolutions than actual vintage footage ever was. The creator made it available as a standalone app, a web app, and even as a plugin for professional editing software like DaVinci Resolve and Premiere.
It is the ultimate Hacker News project. You take a deep sense of retro nostalgia, you apply rigorous engineering to physically model an obsolete technology, and then you rewrite the whole thing in Rust to make it incredibly performant. The demo videos on their site are just beautiful. If you have any interest in video engineering or just miss the look of old home movies, you definitely need to check this out.
It really is a work of art. And that is going to do it for today's episode of HN Pod. We covered a lot of ground today, from the S&P 500 holding the line against tech valuations, to Meta's chatbot failures, international espionage, the struggles of digital privacy, and some amazing open source engineering.
As always, you can find links to all the articles and the Hacker News discussions in our show notes. If you are enjoying the podcast, please share it with a friend or leave us a review. Thanks so much for listening.
Have a great weekend, everyone. We will be back tomorrow with more of the top stories from Hacker News.